Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How's it going? Woo!
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are in the world. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talkart.
Welcome to Talkart.
Thanks, everyone. We are buzzing. This is so incredibly exciting.
This is so cool.
So cool. We've got an amazing guest with us today, haven't we, Rob?
Yeah, so we met today's guest a few months ago in Latitude Music Festival backstage, and we were running to try and see her show with another mate of ours, Deborah Frances White, who does an incredible podcast, The Guilty Feminist.
She was on our podcast as well.
She was actually recently, yeah, at Latitude.
Oh, that's right.
And we walked backstage and we missed the show and we felt really annoyed, and we'd actually got into the arena and it was this incredible huge space and it had the Guilty Feminist logo on the back of the screen and it was empty and we were like, great, we just missed the show. Yeah. And we ran backstage and the first person we met was London Hughes, who is our guest today.
Yes.
And I was immediately taken by her because she had this incredible like generosity of spirit and she was incredibly kind as well, but then equally hilariously funny that I was like almost crying in this little kind of porter cabin backstage.
Would you say she was joyful, Rob?
I would say she is an uplifting human being to be around. She has incredible energy.
Wow.
And yeah, and she also loves art, which is why we've asked her on the show.
Yes, results. That's really helpful for talk art, isn't it?
So we would like to welcome to the stage.
Yes, the Queen of Croydon.
Today. London Hughes.
Woo! This is yours, you're in the middle.
Hi.
How you doing,
so
London?
Cute.
Right.
This is so cute. I loved what you said. I was listening backstage, I heard everything. It was so nice.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks,
of course.
Guys.
We were going to introduce you as the young Picasso.
Ha! Yes.
Right?
Yes, I am. You're
and
laughing.
This is a name that she's actually been called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My teacher in school. Because basically, I'm so terrible at drawing. It's beneath me. It's absolutely beneath me. I can't draw. And like, I was always drawing the eyes weird and the mouths weird, eyes too close together and the eyes close to the nose too close to the mouth. And my teacher said to me, oh, you're like a young Picasso, and introduced me to his work. And that's when I realised I'm actually an artistic genius. Do you know
officially,
what I mean? So I am young
officially.
Picasso. Yeah, no, I'm very, very talented in art. Yeah.
So you went to school, this was a school in Croydon when
yeah,
you grew
Croydon.
Up?
Yeah, Croydon, Fulton Heath, Croydon.
Oh yeah.
Home of Stormzy and the first ever 24-hour Tesco. So,
whoa.
Brap. So, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that soon people are going to be calling it the home of London Hughes.
They better be.
They're going to be like,
me?
Stormzy who?
So who's Stormzy?
Exactly.
London Hughes, mate.
Big time.
So what was school like for you? What was art like for you when you went to school with this teacher? Were they inspirational?
It was a nice place to sleep where you could have a nap during the lessons. I was really good at sleeping. I was just, when I'm not good at something, I don't care.
Right.
Like, so like, I don't know a lot about art because I'm not good at art. I don't know a lot about swimming either because I'm terrible at swimming. I just like tune out. But when I did try and draw, like, it was terrible, but I did enjoy the process. And it wasn't until the end when I realised that I can't draw that I got upset. But the method of it was good. And I liked looking at pictures and, like, I had favourite artists as a kid.
Who was your favourite artist as a kid?
First of all, Picasso, because obviously I am him, he is me.
Yeah.
We are both very, very talented. Obviously, Picasso. I loved Weeping Woman, man. Weeping Woman was legit, bro.
Yes.
Legit. Like, the spoons in the eyes. You don't know about... I'm not sure if you're aware of Weeping Women. It's work.
Tell us about Weeping Women.
I actually just saw Weeping Women
sure
in Madrid. In,
did you?
Yeah, in the
Prado.
Real one. The real one.
Stop.
And I guess what, though? No, this is a weird thing, though. I actually took a picture of it for my old Instagram before I deleted it and then started it again when we did Talk Arc.
Yeah.
Many Instagrams.
This is information
but,
I don't need. Yeah.
But yeah, I did actually post it.
No, it was needed. It was necessary.
Oh, okay.
What?
I've seen it twice, okay? I've seen it once in Paris.
Oh, my God.
I went to a Picasso show in Paris with Tracy Emin and saw...
Stop your face!
Stop my face.
Yeah. I like her.
We like her.
I like Tracy.
So I went with her to see a Picasso show and saw The Weeping Woman, took a photo of it, posted it. And then about 6 months later, went to Madrid with my dear friend Catalina and saw it again and I posted it again. I love that work. So you and I have the same taste.
Can we be friends in real life? We,
exactly.
This
is about to happen.
I feel like you're the type of guy I need to hang out with. Yeah. Okay.
So where did you see this painting?
So we had to study, but well, after I realised me and Picasso were the same, we had to then study him. And Weeping Woman really, like, it just stayed within me because I was just like, oh my God, like the spoons in the eyes, the pinback ears, and the way he drew her. And obviously she's a mistress. I liked how we drew all his mistresses.
Yeah.
I like what a bachelor he was. I think that, you know, me drawing all the guys I'm
Well, he was normally married, so he wasn't really a bachelor, but normally married, so he was having affairs.
He was a player.
That,
and I liked, what's the other one? Where he put the willy in her face. You don't know what I'm talking about. When he drew his willy in her face. Le Rev. Yeah, in Le Rev.
I've not seen that
Are
one.
Are you being serious?
No, I need to see that.
Okay, there's a picture and he draws this model and it looks like she's touching her tiddly bits. But then if you look at her face, his willy is drawn into her face. He's so cheeky. Seriously?
I don't know this one. This is amazing.
That, funnily enough, actually relates to the title of your recent success in Edinburgh, because London's just come off the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and got nominated for a Perrier Award.
Wait, can we just say
we need to talk about this.
First black woman in British history to get nominated.
Yeah! Amazing!
Thank you!
Amazing!
Thank you! I was well chuffed. My show was called To Catch a Dick. So the fact that, like, I was nominated... I'm also the first ever Perrier-nominated... Well, the Edinburgh Comedy Award-nominated show with dick in the title. Sorry, mums, if you're here. But literally, like, yeah, it's just... it was a whirlwind.
Well, I'm loving the link there to Picasso's painting.
Yeah.
How has it changed everything for you now since the nomination?
I'm amazing. I was always amazing. Let's be clear. I was always... But no one knew. Now everyone knows. It's so much fun. Like, yeah, there's so much stuff happening. I'm flying to LA on Saturday. I'm out of here. I start work on my TV show in America. I've got a scripted sitcom starring me, all about my life. So, now Britain's finally playing catch up. And they're like, oh, we love London Hughes. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm in LA, baby. But
why does that happen, though? I feel like, especially with, like, if you think of, like, black male and female actors who go off in the UK to auditions and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Then they get to America and they suddenly get roles. And then they come back and England's like, you're amazing. We always loved you. And
it's like, we were here the whole time.
I know.
That's
but
how
what
I
is that
felt.
About? It's just not cool.
But you know what? It's because I'm sorry to be like, oh, it's racism. But it is just because I'm black. Like, literally, I'm a woman, I'm black, I'm overlooked, especially in entertainment. And my stories aren't really seen as, you know, I guess they're just niche. So people don't go, oh, let's give this black girl a TV show. Just give them to all the white men, because that's what we're used to. So basically, I've had to fight through all that.
And also,
but in America, it's different.
You've had such an interesting route, because you started off on Babe Station.
Yes!
And you also were studying...
What is it you did on Babe Station?
What do you mean?
What did you present?
What is there to do on Babe Station? No, I'm classy. It was Babe Station in the daytime. Classy!
But then from that, you went to children's...
Classy! £20 an hour, fully clothed. Classy! Seriously, that was my first...
Oh, so you were like... How does it work? You were actually a model, watching. Like people...
No, I would present!
Right, okay.
I was like, I'd be fully clothed, and my job was just to keep the bills running until 11 o'clock, and that was the main event, with tits out, fingers in. I weren't part of that. I was fully clothed.
And obviously, Russell and I have never seen this, being gay guys.
Yeah. No, you haven't, but few men...
I've breezed past it. I haven't actually stayed
Sky
on it.
Sky Channel 897. All right.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
And then from there, which is the natural progression, you went from Babe Station to see BBC.
Yeah. That was my next job. Yeah.
Were they aware of your Babe Station past?
Yes, they were.
Because you've been on Blue Peter.
Yeah, I've been on Blue Peter. I used to present in the broom, where Phillip Schofield was, in the broom cupboard. That was my job.
No.
Me and Hacker the Dog in the broom cupboard. I was actually the last presenter to present from BBC Television Studios in London, because it moved to Manchester. And my last ever link, I was like, it started with Phillip Schofield and ended with London Hughes. And it was so beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
And also, you were the first black woman to have her own show, weren't you? Like, your own TV show.
Yeah, I was the first. It's so crazy.
It's crazy, though.
I'm always the first.
I know, well, you're a pioneer.
You're trailblazing, God, absolutely.
That's why you're on our show. We love pioneers and we like rebels. And,
Thank you.
We have big respect for that.
First, I did a show called Extreme Hair Wars, which was on Channel 5. It was like Bake Off, but for hairdressers. Very highbrow, very highbrow. And and I hosted that, and it was like I was the first black woman to solo host a primetime TV show in this country.
And no, I just find that so brilliant. And it's so, like, about time. So,
thanks, man.
And also, you're going to inspire future generations of women and men and girls and boys to realise that they can do that.
Well, yeah. I was a little girl watching TV and I never saw black girls on TV doing anything. And I saw black boys on TV, but that was on Crime Watch, so I couldn't relate. So now, it's like, growing up, I just wanted to be the girl I never saw on TV, and now I am, hopefully.
Yes.
And with art, I know that when you were growing up as a young child, your father had a painting in your house.
Yeah.
And in that painting, it was by an American painter.
Yeah.
And it depicted, it was a figurative painting of different black men and women dancing.
Yeah.
And so if you think about art and representation and seeing yourself, like you were saying, I know you've mentioned Lee Evans before, and you used to look to him and you'd be like, oh, there's a funny white guy. But like, you didn't realise you yourself could be a comedian.
A funny white guy. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know. But a funny white guy's in me, guys. It's in all of us. It's in all of us. Yeah.
What was this painting about?
Sugar Shack.
Yeah, right.
So there's this painting, it's called Sugar Shack, and it's by Ernie Barnes, and it's basically black people in a club dancing, but their bodies are all like elongated and twisted. And I don't know why, but every black family has this picture. If you go to any black house, call up your black friends, say, have you got Sugar Shack? Or does your mum have Sugar Shack? Everyone's got, I don't know who gave out the memo or the letters, but we also, my dad had one above the TV, then my uncle's got one, my mum had one, my friend's mum had one, my friend's grandma's got one, everyone's got one, and I don't know why, but I love that picture.
And you saw that as a kid? That was like an influential...
Yeah, it was just there, always there above. I was watching Columbo and it would be above there, just always there. I used to watch, I'm a Columbo, I like Columbo.
And then your family, so you have like a Jamaican side to your family.
Yes.
And then your father was adopted, is that correct?
Yeah, so you've done your research!
I have done my research.
Look
at
that!
I after meeting you, I was genuinely really impressed when we met you.
Thanks.
And I don't know whether it's some kind of, because I want to talk about that in a minute as well as bullying and that whole kind of part of your life. But there's definitely like an emotional intensity to you as well as the funny side.
Thank
which
you.
Is why I felt a connection to you the minute I met you.
I
said to Russ today, I was like, I don't know why, but the minute I met her, I was like, I really want to run the show, but I also really want to get to know about her.
Oh.
And I learned quite a lot about you, but I was fascinated by this idea that your father, who is black, was adopted by a white family.
Yeah.
So I was interested whether culturally you saw different kind of art from like that side of the family or from the Jamaican side of the family.
It's so crazy because my grandparents, Dorian and Bill, they sadly passed away, but Dorian and Bill, let me tell you about them. They were the first white couple, white people, full stop, to ever adopt a black child in the whole of Sussex. And they did it back in the time, my dad's 60, they did it 60 years ago where no one was doing that. And like, it wasn't cool. Like, black people, we're cool now, we're really cool. We weren't cool, back then. And my grandma's friends disowned her for adopting my dad. And my grandma and granddad had to go to court like 3 times to get the law changed because it wasn't legal. And basically, my dad grew up in a household where he was like, he had a white brother, so my grandma's got a biological son, and then she was told she couldn't have any more kids, so she adopted my dad. And so he grew up in like Crawley. Does anyone know where Crawley is? Near Gatwick, terrible place. He grew up in Crawley, and like just growing up. But then my grandparents, for some reason, were really woke. So that they were such, like, even though they had no black friends, never really spoken to black people in their life, they knew, they had the common sense to tell my dad, you know, this is your black heritage and you're a black man. And they raised him as a black man. Even my grandparents, they would get me black Barbie dolls. My grandma got me black Barbie dolls,
wow.
Like, growing up. I remember one time we were in Hamleys. No, I'm lying. We were in Gamleys, Crawley's version of Hamleys.
Gamleys, we were in
Gamleys toy shop. Yeah, Gamleys. That's right. We were in Gamleys and they didn't have any black baby dolls. And my grandma was like, where are the black baby dolls? And they were like, she said, like, where are the guns or something? And they were like, well, we don't have any. And she just got really angry. It's like, what's my granddaughter going to play with? Meanwhile, my Jamaican grandma was forever giving me white women to play with. She was just like, play with a little white doll. Play with it. So it's so crazy that, even though she was white, the whitest that white could be, she was culturally aware to raise me and my dad black. It's so interesting. And they were great. They were really great. And, in terms of art, I guess I was influenced by them more than they, because they couldn't say like this is great Jamaican art or great black art, but I was influenced by their stuff. So I used to watch a lot of TV that didn't have any black people in it, and I really enjoyed it. Like I love Dad's Army. I used to watch Dad's Army. I used to watch all that growing up. I used to listen to Round the Horn. Do anyone know what Round the Horn is? Yeah, I used to Round the Horn every day as a kid. I was a girl quoting Round the Horn in the playground instead of Spice Girls. That was my life.
I'm thinking of Round the Twist.
Yeah,
there was that Australian
No, not Round
kids
the Twist,
TV
Round
show.
The Horn is Radio 4 show, about the sketch or comedy show and the Goon show. And yeah, that was me. So I guess that was from my white grandparents that influenced me, and now I'm an amalgamation of both. I'm a chick that can do both, basically. So, yeah.
So when it comes to comedy, do you class comedy as an art form in itself?
Do you when think I do it, yeah.
You and you do it, right?
When I don't know about these other dudes that are doing it, just standing still and that. When I do it, masterpiece. Do you know what I mean? Don't know about anyone else.
But who do you look at, like, comedian-wise?
Myself. I'm very good.
Good. And after yourself, who do you look at comedian-wise? Nobody.
No one. That's just me. No, here, Britain, me. In America, I used to like Richard Pryor.
Yes.
God rest his soul, Richard Pryor. I mean, everyone's good. Like, there's good comedians out there and talented, loads of female talented comedians like Felicity Ward and Lou Sanders and Fern Brady, and just basically girls doing something different. Uh-huh. But in terms of what I do, you can't even... No, I didn't... Once you haven't seen me do stand-up. If you see me do stand-up, you'll know that that chick is all her. She never got that from anyone else but herself.
But I did hear that you really liked Will Smith when you were growing up.
Yeah.
Because he was on British TV a lot.
Yeah, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was on BBC Two, like, after school every day.
Yeah, yeah, love
and,
that.
And, like, I grew up wanting to be him and, like, wanting to have my own sitcom.
But also,
like,
didn't you kind of recognise yourself in him in the sense of the way that he would use his body language and,
yeah,
and that you were suddenly like, hang on, I'm like that.
Yeah.
And that people would find you funny, and then that sort of gave you hope and confidence.
Yo, you know me so well. This is so true. I'm like, should I even be here? This is mad. Yes, that is so true. So basically, I used to watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and he's like, if you see my stand-up, I'm very physical. Like, after my Edinburgh show, it was just 1 hour, and I literally am drenched with sweat from telling jokes and moving. I'm always moving. And with Will Smith, as Fresh Prince, he was very physical. He was clowning. And, like, I saw myself, I would do that in the playground. Like, I would make people laugh, and, like, I used to get bullied, and the bullies can't hit you if they're laughing. So I would make them laugh so they didn't beat me up. And, like, I was very, like, clowny and funny, and I saw myself in Will Smith, and I was like, I want his job, I want his life.
And it's interesting to me that you pick Weeping Woman by Picasso as a painting that you connected to. Like,
isn't
that
it?
Fascinates me, though, because within you, I think from that experience of being bullied, you've had to kind of construct London Hughes, which is like this is like sitting down in a therapist session now, isn't it? I mean, who knew? I'm going to go from gallerist to therapist, but
wow.
But yeah, no, but I was struck by that choice because even though you're incredibly funny, there's obviously this kind of sadness from being bullied. That at the time, I know you didn't necessarily feel like you was depressed or sad or anything. But you obviously got obsessed with TV and obsessed with making jokes and all of
that.
Well,
I didn't have any friends, so the television became my best friend. I'd run home from school and me and TV till bedtime. Till we EastEnders, the duff duffs, they were my bedtime. When you heard the duff duffs, go to bed. So I used to like watch EastEnders, watch TV, and it was just like my comfort.
And I heard you say once as well that you know when you're a kid, and especially in the 80s or early 90s, but they had the TVs that were much bigger than they are now, like not the flat screens, and they almost like smelt a bit. You could kind of smell the dust like on the back of them or whatever. And I heard in an interview where you said you used to climb behind the TV.
Yeah, to get on it.
To try and get on it.
Yeah.
Like that was how badly.
Nearly hurt myself. Seriously, my mum found me at age 5 trying to get on TV by opening up the back of it. Nearly messed up my whole life.
But I'm loving
nearly electrocuted my face.
Loving that commitment.
I wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand how I couldn't get inside it. It was crazy to me. But I'm in it now, isn't it? It worked.
So
it's all good.
Russ and I have noticed a very interesting link. So you might not realise that art can be linked to comedy. But in fact, I would say there are more comedians than artists in this world who actually make art.
That's right.
There are so many artists.
Did you know
comedians.
There's a lot of comedians that make an art?
No.
Do you know that Vic Reeves makes art?
Does he?
Yeah, and like, no, but like prolifically, he paints and makes art. He's actually an artist. He sells his work.
Billy Connolly.
We've got a list of them, okay?
Stop.
There's Harry Hill.
Noel Fielding.
Fancy Noel.
Noel Fielding makes
art.
Noel Fielding. But there's also...
We've got a list. We've got actors that make art. We've got like... We've got James Franco.
I love him.
Jim Carrey made art.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, yeah.
You knew that?
Yeah. I knew it. Was I not? I didn't know. Oh my God!
No, you're allowed to know. How do you know? How did you know?
Jim Carrey! So wow!
Jim Carrey made a video of himself revealing to the world that he was an artist. And it's one of the most interesting and intense and quite kind of unsettling videos that I've ever watched. And I wasn't sure if it was him acting when he was doing
right,
it. But it's actually him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a real passion for him.
Yeah.
So do you see this in your future?
No.
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 You wouldn't be tempted to make art at all.
No, listen, you see my nails? I've got acrylics. The way they're set up, yeah, I can't hold a paintbrush or a pencil with these. I can't even wipe myself properly sometimes. Literally, they're too long. I don't think... I'm not good at it. I'm not good at drawing. My hand... I ain't got a steady hand.
But what, and what would happen if, like, a pad and pen come out now?
No. I would make art.
Yeah?
But it just wouldn't be what everyone... Oh! Do you know what, yeah?
Oh.
But my vibes... Because, listen, we live in 2019. Anything's considered as art nowadays. So I would Jackson Pollock that. Like, do you know what I mean? Just make it all
so
messy.
Why would you Jackson Pollock that? Isn't because it you like Jackson Pollock?
I do. I like him. But also, if
this
that's art,
you.
Then this
Let
will
me open
be
this
art.
Up, yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
What are you going to do?
Put this in my crotch. One sec. See, I can't even open the packet because of the nails.
I can sit next to you and hold
the
mic. I'm going to be your mic stand.
The thing about Jackson Pollock is, yeah, like, I didn't realise he was art. And do you know why I like him? So I was sleeping with this dude, yeah? And, like, he had a real Jackson Pollock in his bedroom.
What?
I know, innit?
Where was this?
What, in his house?
No, what? Where is it? What part of the world?
In London.
In London?
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless he lied to me. He told me it was real. Anyway, his dog... He could have been lying. But here's the thing. His dog was staring at it. So I was in bed with this dude. Like, oh, what's your dog staring at? And he looked at me and went, oh, it's a Jackson Pollock. How do you not know? And I was like, how is this little bitch, the dog, more interested culturally. In art than I am? So I decided that I would never be upstaged by a dog again. And I looked at every Jackson Pollock. So now I like Jackson Pollock. I really like. So I'm going to do some Jackson.
Do Good it. One. Get involved. Nice. Use all the colours.
Do you think he does it all at once, do you think?
No, 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 he takes time.
No, I think it takes time.
Yeah. I reckon he's just like that, isn't
it? That's beautiful.
That's profound, London.
Yes, yes, yes. Do you want some more colours here?
Yes, please.
Yeah, get involved.
I need to show the darkness.
Yeah.
I need to show the black middle to working class struggle backwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see that. Yeah, that's coming out.
And then feminism.
That is beautiful.
That bit's feminism. Ooh. That's feminism.
Yeah, because that's the kind of pinky bit.
Yeah, pink and blue. What's that say? It's amalgamation of pink and blue. Feminism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go.
The fascinating thing is, I thought you were going to be more figurative than this.
What do you mean by figurative?
I thought you were going to draw a person. Like,
I told you I'm terrible at drawing.
I know, but
do
I was
to draw a person within it.
Maybe
art,
yeah.
Within the art.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Art
maybe,
within
yeah,
the
yeah,
art, like many layers.
Okay, I'm gonna draw a person. I did it in. Why am I doing it in yellow? That's such a basic color. Sorry, guys. Talk about yourself. I'm gonna put some. Can you see the eyes? Their eyes.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Oh, thanks, Bubs. I'm trying.
Yeah, yeah. Are they green? Green
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, green eyes.
This is major.
It's proper. I mean, when I'm proper famous, you better sell this, get some money.
Well, I think we should sell it for charity.
We should sell it for charity tonight.
I just wanted to see the young Picasso at work.
In it. It's really good. I'm really talented.
What's that?
Oh, the lips.
Oh, the lips. Yeah.
They're big lips because she's black. Do you know what I mean? Black girls have really big lips by default, unfortunately. Actually, big lips are in right now, so that's a good thing. Okay.
Oh, I think that's iconic. I think we should now show that to the audience.
I think it's Beyonce.
Is it Beyonce?
That is next level.
Should I sign it?
Right, can you hold
you ready?
Up?
Is everyone ready to see
oh,
this?
London can hold
Wait,
it up.
Oh, yeah, sign it, sign it.
I think we should auction this off for charity.
You really should.
I think everybody's going to want this. It's going to make a fortune. Right.
Here we go.
All right.
That is terrible.
Here we go. What's the title of it, London?
It's called Feminism. Feminism, guys.
That is feminism right there.
Feminism. That is feminism.
Thank you so much for your gift.
No worries. Thank it's my you. Gift to
phenomenal.
The world.
That's Thanks. Phenomenal.
But yeah, that's the thing. I'm not into art, but I like what I like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, you were telling me that if you had loads of money was no object, you'd buy work by an artist called Fred Allard.
Yeah.
So where did you see this work and what is it like?
So Fred Allard, he's like a sculptor. What's the word?
Sculptor.
Sculptor.
There we go, yeah. Sculptor. He's a sculptor. And what he does is he takes it sounds so trashy, but it looks so cool. He gets designer shopping bags. So if you go to Gucci and just get the carrier bag, he gets Gucci carrier bags, fills it with Gucci clothes, puts pop art stuff in there, like Coca-Cola cans and stuff like that and Chubba Chups, and then covers it in this kind of glass resin type thing.
Acrylic type thing.
And makes these bags. They're massive and you can hold them, but they're big old blocks and they're 6 to 15K each. But they look cool as hell.
Where have you seen these?
So, but this is why. This art for me always comes from a place where I feel embarrassed, and so with like the Jackson Pollock thing. So I was at the art gallery with my white boyfriend at the time. I'm very much single. I'm very single. Anyone listening to this? I'm very single. I'm 30 this year. My mum wants me to get married next year. I'm very single. Okay. So I was in this art gallery with my boyfriend at the time, and I was the only black girl in the art gallery in London, and no one was, so we walked in and we separated and we were walking around, and no one came up to me and asked me if I wanted the price of anything, and they were always coming up to him, and he was broke. I was the one with the money. So he was going, we're going to him, oh, sir, hello, white man, what would you like to see? And he was just like, I'll just, whatever my missus wants. And I was there actually looking at art, but nobody gave a damn. And so I was like standing by this Fred Allard, I saw this Fred Allard, and I was standing by it for ages, and no one came up to me to be like, do you want the price or do you want to see that? And so I was like, excuse me, how much is this, ready to buy it and walk out the store? And she was like, oh, retail price 17,000. I was like, good day, have a nice day. Okay, good day. But listen, one day I'm going to afford it. I can afford it now, but I don't have a mortgage. So I feel like it'd be weird to have like 17 grand worth of art in my house and I'm paying my rent. So that's awkward. But yeah, I really want one. So here's the bit where you go, and this is what we... No?
No. Man. We could just give you more pads and pens.
Yeah, okay, great.
That's interesting. So tomorrow on Spotify, London's new show is launching, her own podcast, which is all about dating. And, you know, you're going to help people find love.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
So it's called London Actually, like Love Actually, but with my name in it. So it's really clever. And it's about my love life, because I feel like Britain hasn't really got a dating podcast from the eyes of through the mouth of a girl that's still out there. Do you know what I mean? They've got people like in married and we're talking about our relationships. Like, oh, I'm married. Let's talk about... Oh, they've got like, my dad wrote a porno and that's my dad's going crazy. Whatever. But they haven't got like black girl, South London, rich as hell, living her best life, still can't catch a dick. Why? And so that is basically what the premise is. And every episode, I got special comedian guests on it. The first episode features Phil Wang, who's a great friend of mine. He's hilarious. And then we've got like a bit with my mum, because my mum's been married twice. So I'm asking her, well, what should I do? My mum's in it. And then I've got a bit called London's Love Line, where I get the listeners. So if you're single and you're listening, I hook you up over the phone. And then I listen in on your first date and I critique it. And it's actually worked. We've had a few love connections. So
really?
Yeah.
That is very exciting.
So, yeah,
and
it's really fun.
Actually love the sleeve, by the way. I think the sleeve is amazing. The type font you've used.
Thanks.
It kind of reminds me a bit of like the movie Sin City, but also Russell was saying it's a bit like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
But it's actually very artistic, that font.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to bring up about this new podcast for you is that it's dating. And I've been on so many dates to galleries where you go to like the Tate Modern.
Yes.
And you go on a date and, you know.
I have to be drunk though.
Really?
Yeah, if I'm going to take, because I don't like modern art. It's beneath me. Do you know what I mean? Because only because I feel like it's not art though. Because I went Tate Modern.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? 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 Okay.
But
really?
Yeah, but then you go to Guggenheim and you saw.
Yeah, but Guggenheim's different.
Oh.
Guggenheim's next level, bruv. You'll go Guggen and you'll see like.
Guggen.
You'll go Peggy Guggen's and you'll see.
Like, wait, so which Guggenheim did you go to? The one in Venice?
One in Venice!
Wow.
Peggy Guggenheim.
Peggy Guggenheim.
One of my favourites.
I went Peggy Guggenheim's in Venice and I saw Picasso, I saw Pollock, just chilling, real ones. And I was like, oh my God, Guggen, you're killing it.
Loving that.
I love Peggy because she's like, I like anyone that just jumps onto someone before they're big.
Yeah.
So she was messing with these artists before anyone really cared about them. And she was like, I see something in you. And I feel like that with me in my career. So anyone that jumped on the London train early, I have a lot of respect for them. And like, that's why I like Peggy Guggenheim. She's a killer.
She was buying a painting a day.
Yeah,
that was her manifesto.
She's a G, man. I want to try and do that.
And you know what's really interesting about her as well? I think she had so much money to kind of like spend on art, or more money than other people had. But she also would spend all of it. So
yeah,
it meant she had nothing left. So she'd have to then sort of work out how to get the next artwork because she'd already spent all of it.
I love her
she
energy.
Kind of really went to the extreme, but to support creativity.
I love her energy.
And I know in your own career you've had a lot of mentors, and if you think about being bullied and you've had to build this kind of like self-esteem and belief in yourself in order to just ignore all that kind of noise, but you've had a lot of mentors. And didn't you do something once where you were like, before people would come on a TV show, you used to like stand in for them?
Oh my God!
No, but I love this story, and it's about Alan Carr is why I wanted to mention
it. Okay, so Oh my God. Okay, so back in the day, so I was at uni studying television studies, which is a terrible degree to study if you want to be on TV. They just make you watch episodes of Desmond's over and over again. It's weird. You don't actually learn how to be on TV. I know like the history of the auto cue, but not how to use one. It was crazy. Anyway, I was there, and when you're there at uni, you get jobs where companies hire uni students. It's illegal now because they didn't pay us. But back then...
Yeah, like unpaid interns.
Yeah, unpaid internship. And my first ever introduction to television was I was a stand-in on a show called Alan Carr's Celebrity Ding Dong. And my job was to stand there, pretend to be the guests like Barbara Windsor and Carol Vorderman whilst Alan went over his jokes and the camera tested all the shots, and I would stand in, and then afterwards the real celebs would come and I would sit and watch it in the audience. But then I was like, I was 18 and I was like, wow, because it's filmed at BBC Television Studios and it just blew my mind, all the lights, and like Alan Carr was so nice and lovely, and in the end he realised I was quite funny, so he would let me choose what jokes he would say. So he'd be like, London, should I do this one or should I do this one? And I'd be like, do that one, and he would actually do it, and so I'd cool. be like, wow, I'm a comedy genius. So like, yeah, if it wasn't for Alan Carr, I don't think I'd really be doing comedy. So
really?
Yeah, he made me realise, wow, like this is what I want to do, because before I just knew I wanted to be in TV because it was my best friend. I didn't realise what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted like a TV show like The Fresh Prince, but that's in America. Here, I was like, where is there room for me? Yeah. Then when I was doing that job as a stand-in, I was like, yeah, this is where I'm meant to be.
Did he get in contact with you when you
me and Alan are, not in Edinburgh, but me and Alan are babes. He's followed my whole journey and he's always had my back and I love him to bits. He's great. But in terms of like having a mentor growing up, Lenny Henry, Sir Lenneth Henry. He was my babes. I used to like tell my mom, like, can you write to Lenny Henry? And she'd be like, yeah, she didn't have his address. She would pretend she did. And I would write all these letters and she would just say she posted them and he never returned the letters. So I'd be like, what's going on, Lenny? And I remember watching like the credits of the Lenny Henry show, seeing if they put his address there, being like, okay, Lenny Henry, where does he live?
But Lenny was just with you in Edinburgh,
though. Yeah, so, oh my God.
And
so,
the guy that was filming you, John O'Rourke, is a mate of ours. He was filming you for some, I don't know what the show was, but he does
Lenny
a South
Henry's
Bank show.
I'm in Lenny Henry's new documentary.
Okay.
And like, it's out on BBC One end of this year. And it's me and Lenny. And Lenny, it's like, we're talking about our careers. Me and Lenny in a coffee shop talking about our careers.
What's that for? Is it Imagine or something?
It's for his own, Imagine TV series. Yeah. But then he's going to me like, you're the future of comedy.
Well, you are, though.
And I'm like, I nearly vomited on myself right there and then. Because it was so much. Because I was like, Lenny, there's no female equivalent of you in Britain. There's no black British female that's as big as Lenny Henry. And he was like, yeah, that's going to be you. And I was like, bleh. And it was just like, wow. Like, I can't believe it. I've gone from writing to this guy and now he's like passing on the torch, basically. Yeah.
You know, we just interviewed Hans Ulrich Obrist, who's one of the world's most kind of famous curators, and he runs the Serpentine Gallery in London. And he has two shows on right now that are really, really important shows by older women artists that were kind of ignored throughout their life, but they kept going until they got recognition. But it wasn't really for the recognition, obviously. They're doing it because they love making art. But one of them was Faith Ringgold, who was black American. You know, she's probably like 85 now or something. And this is the first time I think she's had a kind of show within Europe even. It's like really crazy, but it just shows you that like I have so much respect for people who like stick to their guns and also use their art form to kind of say something and to help engender change. And that's kind of what I see with you as well in what you're doing. And that's why I've got so much respect for what you're doing.
Thank
because
you.
I love the idea that you're now going to America and you're going to like be the lead in your own show. And
I've never
you're not playing
even
a kind
had
of,
a pilot here, by the way. It's crazy.
No, did you have a pilot? Totally you had a pilot with Whoopi Goldberg years back that you were pitching? And
I had a pilot that I was pitching years back, last year, and no TV channel wanted it. So I got Whoopi Goldberg on a show because I basically was like, I'd love to do a travel show with me and Whoopi and as a dream. And it actually came true. And Whoopi said, yeah. So like we were like, cool, we've got Whoopi Goldberg. And I had like everything in place. And every TV channel in Britain said, no. They were like, no. And it was emotional because Whoopi is my dream. Like she's the only black female comedy household name around the world. You could say Whoopi in Australia, you could say Whoopi in Dagenham, and they'll know who the hell Whoopi Goldberg is. She's the only black female comedian that achieved that status. She's kind of trans colour, like a Whoopi Sister Act. It's like an 80% black film, but we can all relate to Sister Act. Do you know what I mean? It's not seen as a black movie, it's just Sister Act. So with Whoopi agreeing to do the show, I was like, this is amazing. And then when no one wanted it, It was New Year's Day this year, and Sister Act was on, and I drank a few Baileys. And after Sister Act, I saw an advert for Russell Howard and Mum going away, travelling, and I just was like, pfft. And then I basically tweeted, I just think it's funny how in 2018 I had a pilot, well, I had a whole show with Whoopi Goldberg, a travel show with Whoopi Goldberg, and nobody wanted it. And then I was like, can we start putting more female comedians in travel shows and not just Russell Howard and his mum?
Yeah.
Or male comics and their mums. Because that year it was like Ramesh Ranganathan had one with his family, Russell Howard, Bradley Walsh had one with his son. I was like, at this point, Rob Brydon's nephew's going to get one before I do. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was no women with their own travel
shows.
And it's
the kind of thing that I'm sure would probably start happening in America.
Yeah, in America.
It probably will happen.
Yeah,
in America,
I don't think, and I mean, it's not the last I've heard of me and Whoopi. Like, we'll get together again. So hopefully.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, this is Russell Tovey and Robert Diamond from Talk Arts, the arts podcast, and we're here today with Budweiser beer, and we're going to be talking about something very, very important to both of us, aren't we, Rob?
That's right. Budweiser, the king of beers, has joined forces with legendary artist Sir Peter Blake, the godfather of British pop art and someone that both of us have adored since we were kids.
I've loved pop art since I was a kid, and Sir Peter Blake has been a constant for me, alongside other pop art artists, the Americans like Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein, Keith Haring. And I got into pop art, Rob, because I loved cartoons growing up. I mean, I still love animation. But suddenly I discovered that so many artists were referencing comic strips and cartoons in their artworks, and I could go and see them in museums, and I suddenly didn't need to grow up. And Sir Peter Blake was one of these artists that meant so much to me. And I think people, if they don't know the name Sir Peter Blake, you would certainly know his work. The album cover for The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, Oasis's Stop the Clocks. These are iconic art historical moments that this artist has actually been at the forefront of.
And you've met him, haven't you?
I've met him, at the South Bank Show Awards years ago. I was there for the History Boys, and he was there, and I got incredibly excited and met him. But you've not met him before, have you, Rob?
I have. I've actually even been to his house and hung out with him and his wife, and I got to make an amazing print with him, which was a huge privilege, actually. It was a real career moment for me. So Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake have come together to unite, and they have created an exclusive limited edition beer can, which doubles as a collectible piece of pop art.
And it was on display at London's Truerman Brewery on the 23rd and 24th of March this year, if you were lucky enough to get there. And also, were you one of the lucky few that were able to get one of the signed beer cans by Sir Peter Blake himself? And there was something very special there, wasn't there, Rob? What was that?
They've actually made the first ever fridge frame, which kind of is reminiscent of what we would be, you know, accustomed with in terms of a museum exhibit. Yeah. But this fridge frame is designed to display the limited edition can of beer as a work of art, but also keeps the beer cool.
Okay, I need a fridge full of fridge frames because this sounds incredible. So Peter Blake's work adorns the cans with all of his eye-catching simplicity. It features the Budweiser's iconic red bow tie logo, but it's encompassed by the artist's signature and his use of block colours and icons. They unveiled this artistic can in all of its glory in one of these fridge frames, as Rob said, which is very exciting. The limited edition cans are available to purchase as a four-pack for a limited time only in selected Tesco stores nationwide.
Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake, thank you for bringing us this cultural moment. I love it when art reaches new audiences, and I really feel like this is going to go into everyone's homes, and is really joyous. So head over to Tesco, pick up a four-pack. Thank you, Budweiser.
But also, if you want to get this collectible piece of art at home, Budweiser's also giving people the chance to own their very own exclusive fridge frame. Beer and art lovers can register their interest by visiting www.budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. That's budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. Budweiser and Talk Art with Sir Peter Blake.
It does. But in America, yeah, there's way more opportunities.
So with your podcast, do you actually take people on dates then?
No, I just listen to their dates.
Oh,
and then we've got
dates,
love
okay.
gurus that will actually can hook people up. And then if you want to, after the date, you want to actually...
So would you say an art gallery was a good date to go
oh,
on?
Oh, yeah, but I've got to be drunk.
You've got to be drunk.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I'm really into that. I'm into art, but art when you're drunk is way better. Like, oh my God, like, yeah, just looking at art drunk. Just like, even when I went to the Tate, I was definitely drunk. And I was just walking around like... This half man, half horse made out of tracing paper. How is this a thing? But then if I was sober, I'd be like, oh, that's terrible. But like drunk me was like, what does it resemble? Is it the white male fragility?
You're freeing up your...
You've got to be drunk.
You've got to be drunk to release that.
I was saying to Russ, like, I've been on so many dates because I work in the art world as well, I guess.
Are you single?
I'm single, yeah.
Bobby!
Yeah.
I didn't know.
High five, babe.
I didn't know.
Yeah, big time.
But
actually, I relate to your message as well about this idea of like working really hard and that you don't want to like settle down and have
you
a family until you've like made it and done your thing.
In life.
So I feel like we're both on our way to that.
But you're a stunner.
Thank you. Oh my God,
you
I'm touched. Deserve,
you need to listen. We'll get you say,
tell us about this terrible date.
Yeah,
I dated this guy, okay, and we went on a date to the National Portrait Gallery, and he rocked up, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in love. Like the minute I saw him, I was in love. And then we went to see this incredible show. Okay, this was like one of the best shows ever for me, especially Claude Cahoon, who was from like the kind of 20s. I think she knew like Duchamp, and she did all these like self portraits of herself. She was a feminist like before feminism existed,
yeah.
And she took all these very strange portraits of herself, and they're all these tiny photographs, and I loved her. She was someone that I loved from the age of like 13, 14, 15. Used to read about her, and a bit like Frida Kahlo, like all these kind of female figures that I loved. Go into the show, and it was with Gillian Waring, another artist who I love, and instead of being like strong about loving this show, I just kind of backed down because he hated the show. And we walked around every room and he was just like, this is awful, this is terrible, oh, I can't bear this, la la la. And I should have realized then that he also wasn't looking or like listening to what I was saying. And instead of being like, this guy's a total idiot,
yeah.
I just fell in love with him and then dated him for 6 months. And why did that relationship not work? Because on that date he showed his true colors. So
why did that turn you on?
I don't know. I need to look into that.
That says more about your childhood.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it?
We need to turn the tables.
Let's talk about
here.
You.
I know.
And the bullying.
It is, babe. But what I think is, you should take this to your show, because I think in the art gallery, it's like a good place to bring up different personality traits.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
So we ask all of our guests who come on two very taxing questions.
All
the
right.
First one is, if you could do an art heist, you could steal any work of art in the world. And I know it's not photography, because you hate photography.
Photography is terrible!
So why do you hate photography?
God. How I feel about photography is like, it's a thing. It's there. But it don't need to be celebrated. For example, how I feel about people that do photography as art is how I feel about like YouTubers. Like they may be famous, but they're not talented. Like that kind of thing. Like, I'm sorry. It's how I feel about you. Like, it's the same. Photography, YouTubers, same thing. Because it is. You can't tell me a shot, like, someone using a camera to take a picture of something should be seen in the same light as someone on their hands and knees. When my little sister could go flick and take a, like, by accident. Sometimes when I turn on my iPhone camera, I go bloop. And then it's a beautiful shot. And I did that by accident. And I could put that up there, portrait gallery, boom, everything. Win everything. So it can't be seen in the same light. It's still a thing, but it shouldn't be in the same bracket as art.
But to counter this, I think they're
not. It shouldn't
I think
be.
Photography is a valid art medium.
Nah.
As long as the artist is like got intention and is dedicated.
No.
I want to take you to a Wolfgang Tillman show, for example.
Yeah, Wolfgang Tillman.
Don't care.
I'll be
like, well done, Wolfgang. Good for you. You press click. Well done. You might have even done it on timer. Who knows? Good for you, Wolfgang. That's amazing.
Going back to our question.
Yes. If you can perform an art heist, so your touchstone artwork, an artwork you can steal and we'll assist you
and
with it.
And it can be cinematic. We can get like trucks, helicopters.
Yeah.
We can get like
drones.
Dramatic
we can
lighting.
Drone it out of there.
It can be like Mission Impossible where you like fly in.
Yeah.
Even in those nails.
Yeah. What
we will
would
help
it be?
You. Ooh. We could get robotic hands to come in if you can't pick it up with your nails.
Ooh.
Like, what artwork would you steal and take home? It could be anything, any size, anything. like Deborah Frances White said Louise Bourgeois' giant spider.
Yeah.
There's like this giant spider that's bigger than this room.
Do you know what? Just because, just for bragging rights, obviously I would probably get, obviously Picasso is my G, obviously Picasso. But for bragging rights, Mona Lisa's. Yeah, bruv, has to be.
Wow.
Come on, let's go.
All the way to the top.
Yeah, yeah, Mona Lisa. Well, we've got to do it, we're doing it big, innit? Might as well. I've got to steal, but I'm still Mona Lisa.
Going back, this is a really great interview technique right now, I'm going to big myself up, but going back to your drawing of Beyonce and feminism,
innit?
She recently made a music video with Jay-Z where they went to the Mona Lisa.
Where they went and stood in front of the Mona Lisa.
In front of the Mona Lisa, and they shut down the whole of the Louvre.
They really did.
The museum, and did one of the most incredible music videos ever made.
It was a bit self-indulgent, not going to lie.
but
I mean, come on, B. Come on, Beyonce. What are you doing? No, I loved it.
I love Beyonce.
Yeah, I love her too. She's great.
Yeah, so this could happen.
Yeah, Mona,
I think we're going to work on this one.
Okay, let's do
and
it.
And it's in Paris, which is the city of romance.
Exactly. We'll go there. We might even catch a dick on the way.
Loving it. And our other question we ask every guest... And I'm intrigued, actually, to know this one from you, is what is your favourite colour?
Yeah.
Oh, red.
Oh, straight in.
Yeah, red.
Why
always
red?
Been red. I have no idea. It's just been, like, the one I've always been drawn to. I'm a Gemini. I mean, my actual Gemini colour is
We looked
yellow.
This up as well. So you're not only a Gemini, you were also born in 1989.
The year of the snake.
Year of the snake.
In it.
In it.
And I hate them. I hate snakes. But yeah, year of the snake. Red is my favourite colour, even though yellow is my... Gemini colour, I think. But I don't know. I've always wear red lipstick. It's always drawn. I like just loved colouring in red whenever I could. Yeah, red.
And the logo on your new show is in red.
Yeah, red is my literally favourite colour. Yeah.
And red is, to a lot of people, it's about like life force.
Is
so
it?
There's this
it's powerful,
idea.
I think.
And you know, like in Coca-Cola cans, you have the colour red. Like apparently they use it in design because subconsciously it picks up like some instinctual thing within all of us. Ooh. Where, yeah, it's quite intense. Where, because you've got blood within you and it's meant to be about life force anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, so it's actually a super powerful colour.
Well, that's what I like.
And it was Hans Ulrich Obrist's favourite colour. I'm pretty
sure.
Hans Ulrich Obrist. Who's the greatest curator ever.
One of the most important curators in the world.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
I've learned so much on this show.
You have, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So we're going to open up to the audience for a few questions. If anyone's got any.
The mic is over there. If you put your hands up, you can ask questions.
Hi, everyone. I'm curious, what was the last piece of art each of you bought or have you bought recently?
Ooh. Ooh. Rob?
What's the last piece of art?
God.
You don't even buy art anymore. You just get gifted it, don't you?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
How do you know that about me?
I've seen
it. I just got gifted a sculpture by an artist from America called Kaws, K-A-W-S.
God. I was so jealous.
You saw it?
Nicki Minaj has got one.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing is... No, the weirdest thing... Okay, I've been to Kaws's studio. He's
it's sort of street artist, isn't
he? Street artist originally.
Yeah.
And he's kind of become a global kind of pop artist in the sense that he's become a household name, like Uniqlo, you know, do big collaborations with him. It's kind of everyone knows his
the
work.
The MTV Awards, the statue is made by Kaws.
And the Dior fashion show recently had a giant floral... Yeah. Which you went to, didn't you, Russ?
No, I went
you didn't
to,
go to
no.
that one?
No.
You weren't invited
to talk about them.
So Kaws, I went to his studio and it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life because I didn't really know what to expect before I got there. And when I arrived, he was so quiet and so like thoughtful and profound and poetic. And I had these trainers on, not these ones, but similar ones, and they were squeaking. And I was walking through his studio and I got completely paranoid because everything was silent in there. And he is the most amazing artist. Like, I have so much respect to him. And then we've texted a few times since, but we haven't been like close friends or anything. And then the podcast started and he started listening to it and he loves it. And then he sent me a sculpture the other day without telling me. I thought he was sending me an invite
to his
show.
Yeah, you're obviously his favourite.
Yeah.
And he sent me a sculpture.
I didn't get a sculpture.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Awkward.
I'm his favourite. I'm so happy about that, actually.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Winning.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so I just got a sculpture from him. But the last, to actually correctly answer your question, the last artwork I bought is a painting, and it's a self-portrait by the son of Billy Childish. I just bought a painting by him for my house in Margate, and I think it cost about £300. But I really believe in him, and he's studying at the Slade, and he was having a bit of a hard time, I think. So I decided to buy a painting for my house, which I loved, and that was quite a meaningful thing to do.
Mine's quick. I ain't never bought art, I don't think.
Not yet. I'm literally going to be your art advisor.
Please do,
because
I've got expensive taste, and before I was broke with expensive taste, and now I'm like just expensive taste. So I don't know what to... I haven't bought anything yet because I don't know what to buy. But in my house, the art I do have on my mantelpiece are my 4 Guinness World Records. Yeah, I said 4.
For what? For what? What did you
oh,
win
really?
For?
My Guinness World Records? Oh, wow. Oh. So... good thing you mentioned it. So... I've got 4 Guinness World Records. So I figured out you can get Guinness World Records for stuff that are stupid, but it's still a world record.
What are your Guinness World Records
awards
for?
By the way, I've got more world records than Usain Bolt, because he's only got 2. And I've got 4. That is my best tidbit about
myself.
You've got
4?
Yes, I've got 4. Weren't you? You weren't listening.
I wasn't listening, so I was looking up the name of the artist.
Yeah, I've got 4 Guinness World Records. So I've got one for the fastest time to make a ham, cheese and tomato sandwich blindfolded. That's right. That's right. And I got the plaques. They give you the plaques. And I got one for the fastest paper cup tower made in under a minute. Just because I'm quick with it.
How many paper cups was it?
No, it's just like you had to make the tower. It had to be a certain height.
Right.
So they measured the height of the tower. I ain't telling you because you'll break it. Right. I don't tell people because they will try and break it. It's very competitive, the Guinness World Records thing. I'm in the book, page 8, 2017 and 18, page 8. I'm in the book. And I've got one for the fastest, the most bangles put on a wrist in 30 seconds. I smashed that record because before they were doing it one by one and there was a loophole that you could just pick them all up at once. I just shove them on. So the record was like 12 and I got like over 200. I was like, yes! Yes! Smart! You gotta be smart! Smart! And the final one is the tallest tower of hats worn on a head at one time. So I got these hats and I had to balance them all on my head.
How many hats?
So it was like, I can't remember because we got like paper hats and we're squashing them down. There's loopholes. Loopholes.
I love a
but
loophole.
But there was like, it's in height. It's not in the amount of hats. It's like the tallest height. It's like 8 foot something.
So did you do this all in one day? Or was
no,
this...
so basically I used to do... Here's the funny thing. I used to do a kids show where as presenters, we had to try and break world records. I've attempted 14. I've only got 4. But still, yeah, I've got
but
4.
There's an artist that we interviewed on our show called Martin Creed.
Yeah.
And one of his latest looks in the past year, because he's really interested in like persona and kind of dressing. And he orders clothes off eBay, all old vintage clothes, and will obsessively collect things.
Yep.
So he often puts on like 15 pairs of sunglasses or, you know
right,
what I mean? All this kind
Guinness
of stuff.
There,
but as his look. And then
as...
he goes out to his opening looking like that. And at his recent opening at Houser & Worth,
yeah,
I think
three,
at the end of last year,
four hats on hat.
In December,
hats
he had
hat.
All these hats on. You need to look it up. I'm going to at you.
I
it.
Wonder if he's
and he's
beaten
going on his,
already.
He's going on an American tour. He'll be there the same time you are. And he's a many hat man. He has loads of hats.
I mean, we should get in contact.
You should.
My people should talk to his hat people.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. But
there
it's
needs
good.
To be a London Hughes Martin Creed collaboration.
There should be.
Yeah,
because as we discovered, I am art. So this is what we learned.
So Russ, what painting is the last one that you bought?
I went to an opening the other night at Maureen Paley Gallery and there's an artist there called Esther Pearl Watson who's from the States and her dad growing up was obsessed with UFO landings and flying saucers and she makes these kind of muralistic paintings which have like, they kind of look like Lowry-esque landscapes with figures in, but then they have spaceship landings. And I think, well, you don't really see spaceships enough in art, I don't think. You don't see flying saucers enough. And she has all these drawings, really, and I bought a drawing of hers that has, like, tinfoil, and it looks quite naive and quite kiddish, but I absolutely loved it, and I got that the other day, and that just opened at Maureen Paley Gallery, and I
How much was that? What do you know?
That was... yen dollars. It was $650. It's not expensive.
It's not expensive.
Not expensive. That was, yeah. No, it's a decent one, plus
although
VAT.
That is some people's rent in London, but it's not expensive.
Yeah, yeah, plus VAT and framing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's cheap.
You know what, as well, when I saw that show, I didn't go and see the show, but I saw the image for it, and it really made me think about this idea of, like, UFOs and aliens in art. And there's an artist that I really love who I also bought a painting of not long ago by Catherine Bradford, and she's an American painter, and she's actually getting more well-known in the UK now, which is really brilliant. And I'm a big champion of her, and she's probably, like... I don't know, late 60s, something like that. And she was undiscovered for a long, long time. And her paintings are like next level. And they're incredibly like soulful and spiritual, but they often have UFOs within them.
Yeah, there's always stars and spaceships.
I love
and yeah, and it's always like moonlight on the water with people swimming at night.
Yeah.
They're really dreamy.
I like
yeah.
that.
Catherine Bradford's
like,
awesome.
Could you help me get art by someone, by a female artist that was like underrated for so long? I feel
yeah,
like
totally.
That
yeah,
should
yeah,
be
yeah.
The first piece of art I buy.
But
that
also,
happens a lot with female artists. So,
totally.
So many female artists have been working and working and working and the men have trailblazed and the men have got all the attention. The women have been there the whole time.
Yeah.
And suddenly like their late 70s, 80s,
oh,
they suddenly
whoa.
Get...
70s, 80s?
Yeah, some of them. You look at some of these artists. You look at Carmen Herrera, is 105 now. She's hanging on, still working. She got famous when she was 84.
Oh my God.
And everyone was like, where have you been? She said, I've been here the whole time.
Wow. It's a bit like what you're telling us.
That's exactly how my career, I've been here the whole, I've been doing comedy 10 years though.
She tells an incredible story how she used to try and get her work into art galleries, and she went to this art gallery run by a female, and the female went, you run rings around all my male artists, you're amazing. She was like, great, she went, but I'm not going to give you a show. She's like, why? She went, because you're a woman. And she said that was from a woman to a woman.
It'd be your own people. That disrespect you. Wow. But
even your hero, Jackson Pollock, his wife,
Lee Krasner,
just had a major solo show at the Barbican, totally transformative artist. And actually, I think she's a better painter.
Yeah.
And I think that show at the Barbican's kind of resolutely proved that. I mean, that show is exquisite.
But she was there the whole time.
His wife and partner. So tell the story, Russ, because you were saying it the other day about how she championed his work after he died.
I don't know if everyone knows about Jackson Pollock, but he was a womanizer. He cheated on her multiple times.
Oh,
he was an alcoholic. He's very abusive. But she stuck by her man. And he died while he's in the car with someone he's having an affair with and her friend. And the friend survived. And when he died, she knew that his work was amazing. Even though he was such a terrible husband and partner, she believed in the work so much that she championed it. And he was out of fashion. He was out of favour. Nobody was interested in Jackson Pollock. And she pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to the point where everyone went, this guy is incredibly important and his price is soared. And after that, she'd been working the whole time. After that, she's like, phew, right, I can chill out now. I can now concentrate on my own work and push my own work. And it's only now, really, in the last like 6, 7 years, maybe 10 years, that people have gone, Lee Krasner's important. And her work is actually better than Jackson's. But it felt like she believed in the work so much, even though the man was...
And you know what that is? That is true love as well. Yeah. And that's, you know, like your show. So I'm
also, it's weird that I called my Jackson Pollock-themed piece feminism. That's awkward.
Yeah, that's not true on any level.
Just, I kind of regret it now.
I thought it was ironic.
No, I never knew about the backstory.
It's postmodern, though. It's postmodern. You're turning the tables.
I'm actually flipping the script. Actually, you're stupid.
Yeah.
For not realising it.
Yeah.
And smart.
Yeah.
It's the same with Picasso. He was a true feminist, wasn't he? Picasso.
Yeah, Picasso, true feminist. Yeah, I had no idea about Jackson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh huh.
Jesus.
There we go.
Have we got any other questions? Here we go.
Oh.
Take the back row and then maybe the front row after.
What piece of art, if you could attach one to it, would you say represents your love lives?
Ha! Tracy Emin's bed. Literally. Yeah.
Oh,
that's me.
God. That's a really hard question.
Sorry, my mic's nowhere near my mouth. That's a really hard question.
That's a really hard question. Oh, God. I mean, it's going to be really revealing, isn't it? Whatever you say.
You were right in there.
Yeah, you were straight in.
You were just like right in there.
Yeah.
I love Tracy Emin's bed because it's really poetic as well. It's got this and she did an installation of it recently in the Turner Contemporary Museum in Margate with Turner paintings. And so you've got these beautiful like seascape kind of paintings, and then you see her bed next to it.
Oh, the juxtaposition must have been.
It was incredible. And no, but it really.
What did you just say? I missed
the juxtaposition.
Oh yeah.
Between it, no.
It really was incredible, though.
must have been insane.
Oh, God. I mean, mine would probably be, and you hate him, but Wolfgang Tillmann's photography.
Oh,
he does a lot. He does a series
Why
called...
Why is he so great, by the way?
Because he says if one thing matters, everything matters, is his mantra, and he photographs the everyday, and he makes high art out of... detritus, and he has this series called Fultonworth series, and it's clothing that's been discarded, and it's like a sock over a banister or a pair of pants on the floor. And what it does is, it as the viewer, you project onto it the scenario, what's happened, and there's something quite sexy about the fact that what's left behind. You know, if you saw like two pair of like pants on the floor or trousers or a pair of shoes discarded and like a shirt there, you think something sexy's happening. And that's, I guess, I would have the whole series of Fultonworth by Wolfgang Tillmans.
And what are those ones? What is that series?
It's just like discarded clothes. And
what
then...
he just said.
So you see like t-shirts. No, I wasn't listening because I was thinking about my own one.
I know, I just did that when you were talking. I was like, what are they talking about?
I was thinking about my own one, which I have
Jesus.
Now.
Because, you know, it's like it's sexy and stuff's going on, but you don't need to know, really. You don't need to know what I'm doing, but you can imagine.
Is that the same t-shirt series where you see t-shirts? Sometimes?
You see the t-shirts on it, yeah, and they've got like stains, suggestive stains on them and stuff.
His work is not sure about that one. His work is also incredibly autobiographical.
Yeah.
And I'll show you. I really want to take you to one of his shows because I think you're actually going to like him.
We'll see.
And then I think we might, you know, you might change.
We'll
What's your
see.
Work, Rob?
Yeah. Well, I'm really struggling with this, but I think it would be a work, a really early, early sculpture by Rebecca Warren, and it's called Every Aspect of Bitch Magic.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
why?
Because, you know, I think I have magic, and I think...
And you're
know,
a bitch.
It's being ignored. And I'm a complete bitch, yeah.
Every
no,
aspect.
I just love that sculpture.
Yeah, like, it's a vitrine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's
ooh,
got
you know
like...
it, Russ.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
And it's got like little bits of detritus on the top, like a pom-pom.
It's got a teabag in it. It's got all kinds of things
you love
in
teabag.
It.
Sorry. Your mum's in the audience. Sorry about that. Sorry, it's too
where's
easy.
Where's mumsy?
Anyway, Rebecca Warren is just generally like...
Yeah, genius.
Genius. Love Rebecca.
Genius.
So we have a question at the front as well.
Yep. Oh, you got it.
I want to ask that... what's the weirdest art have you ever seen?
Oh, the weirdest art?
Oh, yeah. There's a load. There's
yeah,
literally loads.
Where's she going to stop here?
oh, God. What am I saying? What's the weirdest?
I saw like a 12-foot sequin penis sculpture.
That's what I'm saying. I was going along them lines.
Yeah, yeah. You saw it as well.
I ain't seen the penis, but I seen dildo art. Do you know what I mean?
Dildo art?
Yeah, so it's like dildos made into stuff.
Like what? Made into what?
So it's like dildos all bent in like a heart. Dildos like a swan.
Oh, I've seen
beautiful.
That.
Yeah,
that's
do you know what I mean?
That is really strange.
Yeah, so yes. That, I've seen that. That was in LA.
This is a tough question as
that
well.
Was weird.
Yeah.
That
no,
was weird.
Yeah, the penis, the disco penis was by Kembra Failer, who's a downtown
the disco
East.
Penis.
Disco penis.
And really?
Yeah.
And that was, it's a giant penis.
Giant. I've got a picture next to it on my Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm standing there proudly. Yeah, she's called Kembra Phelan. She's from downtown New York. She's part of the downtown New York scene.
Nice.
She's a performance artist. Yeah, she does
I really
want to,
what's that place called? Art Basel. Basil.
Basel.
Basel. I want to go
will
there.
Go to Art
yeah.
Basel with you.
Can we go?
I big time want to be your art advisor.
Please, I really want to go there.
Will you do it drunk or will you do it sober?
Drunk.
Right.
Yeah, but there's free champagne.
There's free
champagne. We can go to the preview.
Yeah,
we're gonna
please,
rock
can
this.
We go?
Well, you should come freeze London. Well, you're not here though, are you? Freeze
when,
London.
When's that?
October. In October, first week of October.
Might,
you're in
I
LA,
might,
no?
I might come back.
Come back for it.
Because I'm in LA for
I have
about
a month.
I've
got my booth there.
My
gallery.
There.
I'm
oh, really?
With you.
Yeah,
we're yeah. just
I
drink champagne.
Do that.
And Ruinar sponsor it, so you can get loads of free Ruinar. I love that champagne.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay, look at that. Look, I'm living my best life with you two, innit?
Big time. This is just the beginning, London. And also, I said to Russ that because you liked... sort of like that artist with the handbag and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking like, and because you're doing a dating show and you're all about love generally, yeah. I thought you should get Jeff Koons' giant heart.
Yes.
Which has got a kind
a bow.
Of bow on it and there's different variations
of it. Do
you know
Jeff Koons' work?
I've heard Jeff of Jeff Koons.
Yeah, yeah, he's made. Yeah.
I probably recognise it if I see
he's
it.
He's the guy who did the giant puppy, you know, the huge
with the
puppy,
flowers in.
And
oh,
it all
yeah.
looks a bit like balloons that have been, you know,
made
into no, balloon
animals.
I've seen
balloon animals. Yeah, but they're all like made
out of. You think I should get some of his stuff?
Yeah, it's about 10 million or something.
It's not 10 million.
Yeah, okay,
you're right. Hollywood
yeah.
comes, babe.
Yeah,
innit?
You're,
no,
it's all happening.
It's en route. It's en route.
I believe in you,
it's
and
doable.
I know it's going to happen, which is why I want to be your art advisor.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. It's doable.
What's the weirdest
that.
Art you've seen,
I'm
Rob?
Really struggling, actually, but I think it's an outsider artist.
Go on.
I think it might be like Henry Darger.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a Henry Darger installation in Camden at...
The off of near Primrose Hill, off the space
the
there. It's called...
Museum?
Don't know.
The something museum?
Yes. London... Oh. No, no.
Anyway,
yes.
I saw a Henry Darger exhibition and he was a kind of outsider artist who did very strange, like fairy tale, kind of twisted fairy tales, really dark, twisted weirdness. And Henry Darger, and I kind of loved it and I'd seen it in reproduction before, but when you actually see it in real life, it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
And it's almost quite wrong.
It was
somehow.
Rolls and rolls of paper and he had them all kind of displayed so you could walk up and down. And he made it in his bedroom in his mother's house and nobody ever saw it while he's alive. And when he died, they went in and found this art and they were like, this is kind of screwed up, but this is amazing, but it's really disturbing. But he didn't make it for the world to see. He made it for his own sort of inner monologue because he needed to like create this world to escape from everything. But it was yeah, it's very disturbing, but it's incredibly as an art form.
But when
amazing.
I thought about the word weird, you immediately think of kind of craziness or something.
Or,
yeah. kind
or dildos.
Very over the... Exactly. But yeah. like or just like crazy up. But I feel like weird is actually a word where I did feel quite weird when I was looking at
yeah,
that
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
Like
well,
it
disturbs you. It's disturbing.
Unsettling.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
at the same time, it's quite genius.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a really good question.
Great.
Yeah.
I think we've got time for one more. At the back.
At the back.
Or two, maybe two more then.
Is there one thing that you would change about the art world?
Ooh.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Well, Rob, you work in a gallery. You...
No, London go first.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. Definite yes there.
Do you know what I would change? Here's the thing. This is what I don't like about art. Is that you'll have art and it'll be like, this is art. And then someone goes, that's not art. And it's like, bitch, yes, it is art. But then someone who's influential goes, that's art. And they go, ooh, let's hike up the money on it. Let's hike up the price. And she's like, I was telling you it was art all along and you said no at first. And I don't like that. I like the fact that, if I'm a comedian. So if you're funny, you're a comedian. You can't stand on stage and not make people laugh and be a comedian. Like, it's like, you're funny, you're a comedian. Or you can act, you're an actor. But with art, it's like, I just don't get that these gatekeepers just control what is art and what isn't and what's expensive art and what's cheap art.
Yeah.
And it kind of like makes you feel
How
like...
How would you change that then?
It's hard because art is so subjective that I went to the Tate Modern and I just saw like this giant cassette tape. It's just this massive cassette tape. And apparently that's art. And I'm like, that's not art. That is just structure and taking up space. But it's that is not art. But then someone said that's art and that's expensive or whatever. I don't know.
But
I don't
you don't
know.
Think that all culture is subjective? Like,
no, because I feel like most things you can, most skills, they are defined by a set of rules.
Yeah.
And if you do them correctly, you will get this effect. And that means you are that person. Like if you're a runner, the fastest runner wins. Whereas art, what's... It's not like the best artist
wins.
But
you know what? Maybe that's actually the interesting thing about art that's different to everything else, which I'd never really thought about before, but that's quite interesting.
Isn't it?
Because No, wait, it is. Because it is like, so you can't sort of pin it down. It is quite profound in that
which
sense.
Which means everything's great and also everything's terrible.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Right?
What would you do? How would you change the art world, Rob? Because you work in a gallery on a daily basis.
I think I've actually been learning a lot recently because we've opened a gallery in Margate and it's almost become a kind of public space now. Like it's become much more, we have so many more visitors. We've had something like, I don't know, 5,000 visitors. Whereas in the London gallery, we would have had like 1,000 in a year. You know, that's the difference. So it's been much more like running a museum. And also doing this show actually has made us more public in the sense that I'm interacting with so many more people than I used to, like just running a private gallery. And what I've learned from that is the importance of being able to have conversations and that people can come into the gallery and say, but why is this good? Or what is this about? And I do think with art, one of the problems with art is that you sometimes need the backstory because you might, which is what, like that cassette tape, for example, it probably has some fascinating like backstory.
Right.
But if you don't see it and you don't visually like it necessarily when you see it, then you might not get it. So I think the idea of like being able to talk about art and, for people to feel brave enough or free enough or relaxed enough to be able to ask questions. I think that's the big thing that I would like to change. And that's kind of why we're doing this show.
Totally.
And that's also why we wanted you to come on the show.
Yeah, because I'm the voice of the working class. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I guess I am. People say I am. I'm quite middle class now, but awkward.
I live in Battersea Park. It's also about different people's perspectives, you know, which are valid and need to be heard.
Yeah.
And what I don't like in the art world is the idea that, like, you can't have a comedian come and talk about art. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to do that because...
Well, that's what we're into, art for everyone. Yeah, we want to make it non-elitist, non-academic. Yeah.
But you guys are definitely doing that with
totally.
This.
Totally.
Definitely.
We just want to get more people out into art galleries because there's so many that
snobbery,
are free.
There's a
fearfulness that you don't know enough and therefore you're not allowed in. You're not allowed in the club.
Oh my God, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and we want to just open the doors and go, there isn't a club. Everybody's
and also,
welcome.
What I love in culture, if you look at someone like Kanye West or Beyonce and different pop stars, and even Madonna historically, like there's loads of pop stars that have done it, who have tried to involve art in what they do. I think that can the combination of those forces, like bringing together different disciplines, can just be so transcendent and so inclusive and such brilliant positivity out of all of that. And that's what...
And culture's the quickest way to get a message across through culture. Yes. It's like it moves through, you know, humankind much easier than it does someone standing there trying to be propaganda.
But also politically,
it
reflects the time we're in.
Yeah.
Just like comedy does, you know. Art shows what's going on in society.
Yeah.
And without that, what are we as people? Like what, you know, if we all died if the whole planet got wiped out, you know, who knows, it might well happen. But what will be left behind, you know, is all those artifacts or things.
That art.
And art.
Yeah.
No, it's so important. I just wish it was more... I wish it was spread
accessible.
Out more. Accessible. Yeah. I wish it was more accessible to just everyone. And like, I feel like even if you had like a street artist who had no money and came from nothing, the moment he gets popular, his artwork goes soaring up and then you have to pay crazy money to get that guy's work. Whereas that guy should be free. It should be free and he should be everywhere because he didn't come from money. I feel like when art turns into great art, it becomes really...
Commodity. But you know what? Using that as an example, though, if you think of someone like as mainstream now as Banksy, who's obviously a very famous street artist, but I like the fact that he sometimes goes and does his stencils on centres or places, locations that are struggling. So he went and did a stencil recently, I think on a kids' youth centre or something.
Yeah, he did.
Did it on the front door. And then that is owned by that building. They were able to... or auction that off, use the money to help fund the youth centre.
Oh, really?
And things like that. Now, that is cool. Banksy has also made a lot of prints. And I think, and Tracy, and different artists who are really famous, they make a lot of prints that you can buy for a few hundred quid. And I think that's amazing, you know, which you might have to save up for to buy whatever. But I think it is really important to try and live with art as well.
It's like when I watched Exit Through the Gift Shop for the first time, that blew my mind. I was like, oh, this art thing's a joke. Like, you could just pretend to be an artist and then be an artist. Then I went to the dude, what's his name?
Dr. Brainwash.
Mr. Brainwash. I went to his place, like his art gallery, and I was like, this is so crazy. Like, is this... It flipped my mind around. I didn't know how
Brainwash.
I felt about it.
I wonder if Mr. Brainwash is all Banksy and he's used that guy almost like as an avatar and an actor. I don't know if this is true or not.
Wow, yeah, I heard that theory.
To disrespect you, Mr. Brainwash, because I don't totally conspiracy. Know.
No, I
so
heard
when
that
I
too.
Watched that, really? I kind of felt like it was... there's so many layers to it, and it's quite deep actually, and it is quite genius. And then Madonna, funnily enough, used Mr. Brainwash for her greatest hits cover. Yeah, and it's interesting, that whole thing.
The Kardashians love him as well, so that's, he's just gone through the roof. They filmed the episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians in his... that's art. Now that is art. Do you know what I mean?
The Kardashians.
The Kardashians went to Mr. Brainwash and filmed the whole episode in his gallery.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's...
We need to get the Kardashians on this show.
You really do.
Rob has his music on Kardashians.
I have my music on some of their early... Yeah, so I used to make music, and some of my early songs were used in the background of the early seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Are you being serious?
And at the time, I had to sign it off, and I was like, I don't know what this is, because they weren't famous at all. And then it was being used, and I was getting money coming in, and I was like, I got a bit of money from it. And it was interesting, though. And also things like Paris Hilton, kind of weird show. Like Paris Hilton's Best Friend Forever and things like that.
Hilton's new best friend.
Yeah, those things.
I was on that.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you?
I auditioned for that.
Hopefully my music was in the background.
Yeah,
when you
probably was. Wow. That's crazy. That was
brought back together. This is a true romance.
I know, isn't it?
We found each other.
We're gonna have the best time.
We are, yeah.
Me and you. And you. Sorry. And
you. No, that's fine. No.
Oh no.
No, this you do your thing. You get your sculptures.
This is like
your thing. It's fine. I'm all right.
This is like Cause all over again.
This is painful.
Russell gets left out.
This is painful.
Well, London Hughes, thank you so much.
Yeah, my God, thank you so much. Can everyone thank London Hughes, please?
Thank you.
An amazing guest.
And also, thank you to everyone who's come today.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who's come here today and who's been listening to the show and writing into us on Instagram and all that stuff. Like, it does really mean a lot to us. And I don't think either of us realised this was even going to happen, that we'd end up being on the stage.
No, it's amazing.
It's mad. But we're really grateful. And we're going to hang out afterwards, so do come and say hi.
Can I quickly plug my podcast, London Actually, launches on Spotify tomorrow. So please listen to it. It's my first podcast, so please enjoy. Thank you, guys.
And we will post a picture of that and a link so you can all follow that. And we'll also be posting pictures of the artworks we've discussed today, including Lee Krasner. So not just Jackson Pollock. We're going to support the female
artists.
And my
art, feminism.
Yes, we're going to take a picture of feminism.
Yes, we will.
Maybe we'll auction that off at some point. I think that's got positive
vibes.
Wait
till I'm mega famous.
Exactly, yeah. We'll hold it back for a bit. But thank you, London. It's been a privilege.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
No, thanks, guys.
And thank you to all of you.
London,
we'll see you very soon.
All right, cheers, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diament and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.